Take our Bibles and go to Colossians chapter number 1, and let's get right back into our verse-by-verse study tonight. I'm so excited about working our way through this book. Tonight will be our third study. We'll be in verse number 9, and we're going to kind of change gears a little bit. If you need a handout, lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will be glad to give you one. If you need a handout, just lift it up real high. Okay, anybody? All right, we're going to change gears. We're going to go into a new section here of the book. Verses 1 through 8, Paul's greetings. Paul is, giving thanks to God for them. He heard about them being saved, although Paul had never been there. And he's talking about what God's done in their life since they've been saved. But now we come into verse 9. And in verse 9, Paul's going to kind of show us how that he prayed for these people. If you look at verse 9, he says, "For this cause, we also," and the cause is verses 1 through 8, where he talks about them being saved and so forth. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it," since the day Paul heard about these people getting saved, he said, here's what his response was, "We do not cease to" what? "Pray for you." So Paul said, since we heard about you getting saved, we have regularly prayed for you. Now, passages like this are what give us insight into Paul's prayer life, which is important. Because you remember 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul said he was a pattern. He said, "I'm a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Christ." Paul, we know, is our pattern. And Paul, we learn about Paul's prayer life as we study passages like this, because he says, "We do not cease to pray for you." And then, boom, he's going to tell you how he'd been praying for these people. So it really gives us some insight. The disciples came to Jesus, the 12. And the 12 said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And, of course, we're very familiar with that passage where he said, "Here's how to pray." And then he goes through, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And you read the prayer, and what you got to understand, though, is that Jesus Christ is teaching the 12 disciples how to pray as a Jew under God's kingdom program. That's why in the prayer, he instructs them to pray thy kingdom what? Come. Thy will be done on earth. Well, for us to pray that way today, in this dispensation, we're basically saying, "Lord, we want the time of grace to end, and we want you to bring wrath to the earth," okay? Because we know that in order for the kingdom to come, there's going to be a time of wrath. But if you're a Jew living in the tribulation, that's a prayer you're going to be praying constantly. "Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So he's teaching them how to pray with the tribulation in view and the kingdom program in view that's coming. Well, Paul, on the other hand, he's going to teach us how to pray as a member of the body of Christ in this dispensation. A lot of people, they pray things, and they pray things that are silly, really, for a believer today. For example, in a lot of circles, almost every public prayer, they'll conclude something like this: "We pray thee, forgive us our sins and wash us in the blood of Jesus. Receive us into thy kingdom. Give us thy Holy Spirit and save us at last for Christ's sake. Amen." Well, what's the problem with that prayer? The problem is that every single petition in that prayer has already been granted to the believer in Jesus Christ. God's already done it. It's already a done deal. So there's a lot of praying that goes on today that really is not very, very intelligent praying, really. So this thing of Paul and prayer is very important. When Paul prayed for others, what did he pray for? What did Paul deem important as he prayed for other people? What did he think was important? When Paul prayed, Do we see in his prayers, as he prayed for the churches, did he pray for the church's material prosperity? Do we see him praying for bigger crowds, bigger buildings, and bigger budgets for the churches? No. In your handout, it says that Paul's prayers were constantly focused on the spiritual welfare of believers. He was always praying for the spiritual welfare of believers. Now, we get real caught up in material things. And that kind of flows over into our prayer life. We're real caught up with material things because we live in a very materialistic society today. Where materialism is rampant, so that kind of impacts our prayer lives, and we are very materialistic in our prayers. Paul was not. Paul knew that it was about the inner man. It was about the inner spirit that mattered. That's what really mattered. That's what was really going to get people through. That's what was really going to bring victory. That was what was really going to make a difference, is how people were doing in their inner man, how they were doing in their inner spirit. That's what really mattered. And that's what Paul prayed about. That you see this all the time in his prayers. If you study his prayers, not just in this book, but in other books that Paul wrote, when you see how Paul prayed, he was very focused on the spiritual welfare of people. Paul desired that these converts be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I want you to look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Well, what was Paul's prayer and desire? That ye might be filled. That word filled means to be fully furnished with the knowledge of his what? Will. Paul said, here's how we're praying. We're praying that your minds, your hearts will be fully furnished with the knowledge of God's will. He wanted them to know God. See? Now, you say, well, they were already saved. Yeah, but to be saved, but to know God and to understand what God's doing is two different things. When a couple is engaged, they think they know each other. Those of you who are married are laughing. Those of you who are single are going, "What? Yeah, I do." Those of you who are married know how funny that is. You really don't know them till you get married and you begin living with them. Amen. You establish a permanent relationship with them. And then all of a sudden, she soon discovers that wonderful hunk of a guy that she married, he is miserable in the morning. She didn't know that. And he looks at her in the morning and he's trying to figure out who that strange woman is in the bedroom. With her hair all over the place and breath like an elephant, you know. He's trying to figure out, what in the world? This isn't the woman I said I do to. You know. You got to get to know each other. Well, you know, he said, I'm praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. I want you to grow and understand this. Now, we think of God's will in terms of our daily lives. You know, what we think of God's will in terms of, you know, where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do and so forth. But that's not what Paul had in mind when he wrote this. There's a place for that, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul wanted these believers to understand, when he talks about, I want you to have the knowledge of his will, he's saying, I want you to understand what God's doing today in the dispensation of grace. I want you to fully comprehend, I want you to be able to grasp what God's doing. The emphasis really isn't on them, the emphasis is on God and what God wants done today in the dispensation that we live in. When you look at the context of the chapter and you read the whole chapter, okay, Paul is wanting them to see that, hey, this is what God's up to today. This is what God's doing. This is what God wants accomplished. You see, God, now listen closely, God has an overarching secret purpose and will for today that he has revealed through Paul. It's no longer a mystery. He's fully revealed it. He's fully manifested. Ephesians 1:9 says that he has made known the mystery of his will. That phrase made known means that he's made it public. Okay? He's fully manifested it. He's fully made it known, the mystery of his will. What was once a mystery, about His will. Now His will has been made known. And so Paul is wanting these believers to learn this, to understand this, to grasp this, what this will is that God's made known for today. And it's our responsibility, by the way, to learn it. In your handout, it says, how do we discover how we fit into God's objective and God's purpose and God's plan for the present time period? How do we discover how we fit into that? Well, in your handout, it says, Paul says that it comes through wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's how you get the knowledge. It comes through wisdom and spiritual understanding. Look at verse 9 again. Okay. For this cause we also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled, fully furnished with the knowledge of His will, of God's will, what God's doing today. How? In all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. They needed to be brought into some understanding of what God's doing. Now go over to Ephesians. That's kind of the companion book with the Colossians. Keep your bookmarker here. And you may just want to get in the habit of kind of keeping Ephesians open too, because we'll be back and forth. Ephesians 5, it's just back a few pages. So you're just going to go back through Philippians, and then you'll be in Ephesians 5. And notice again here, he says in verse 17, Ephesians 5, 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding, there's that word again, what the will of the Lord is. Not what the will of the Lord is going to be in your life 5 years from now. Not what the will of God is going to be for you tomorrow. Present tense, we want you to understand what the will of God is. What is God's will today? Paul constantly prayed about this when he prayed for people. This is how I pray for you as your pastor. Why? Because that's how Paul prayed. And Paul teaches us how to pray intelligently in this dispensation. Now go to Ephesians 1. Go over there and I'll show it to you again. Ephesians 1, again, Paul's going to record how he prays. And in verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, how'd you pray for him, Paul? Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of, oh, there it is again, the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the what? See how that ties together? The knowledge of Him. I want you to know what God's up to, what God's doing today. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And so this is how Paul prayed. Now, in your handout, it says, how do I grow in wisdom and spiritual understanding? How do I do that? Well, I grow as I study and learn God's Word. And then it says this, and here's the blank. God's Word reveals God's will. And that's, I forgot to look at all the verses I have on PowerPoint. I'm not sure what I have on PowerPoint, what I don't. You don't have a PowerPoint handout, do you? Printout? Do you have one handy? Where is it? Right behind me? Okay. Do I have this on PowerPoint, these verses? Okay, I don't. Go to 2 Timothy then. Right after Colossians, you're going to have the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Chapter number 3, and I want you guys to see this. 2 Timothy 3, I usually write in my notes where I have PowerPoint verses, and I forgot to do that, so that's what I'm talking about. You got that there for me, Larry, the message? PowerPoint? All right, 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. Thank you. Oh, thanks so much, I appreciate it. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. Now look what he writes to Timothy here. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Notice what he says about the Bible now. Which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now keep your bookmarker open there. Keep open to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at another verse in a second. But I want you to get a statement in your handout. It says, I understand the will of God as the Spirit of God teaches me the Word of God. That's very important. I understand the will of God as the Spirit of God teaches me the Word of God. Now, do you want to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Well, how do you get it? You've got to read and learn and understand the revelation that Christ gave to you, specifically for a believer today, through Paul. Let me show it to you. That's the key, and I'm going to prove it to you. Keep something in 2 Timothy. We're going to go right back. Now flip back over to Ephesians. You say, I'm running out of bookmarkers, Pastor Dan. I know you are. For Ephesians 3. All right, go to Ephesians 3 and look at verse number 3. Ephesians 3 and verse number 3. You know why I didn't write that down, Pastor Larry, the verses I have on PowerPoint? Because there isn't any. We're going to turn to them, amen? All right, Ephesians 3, look at verse 3. Paul said, let's go back to verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Now look at this. How that by revelation he, Christ, made known unto me the mystery. Look what he said. Wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you, what? Read. You got to read. You got to learn. Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, you want to hear something kind of cool? The same word, that word knowledge, look at verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. That is the same word translated as understanding over there in Colossians 1:9 when he said, I want you to grow in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Same word as knowledge here, just translated differently in those two places. So literally what Paul's saying in verse 4, look at it again, Ephesians 3:4. Whereby when you read what I wrote to you, Paul said, you're going to understand my understanding. That's the word. Knowledge is the same word as understanding. You're going to understand my understanding in the mystery of Christ. That's how you're going to get it. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you go back over there, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I told you to keep your bookmarker there because I knew we were going to hit this verse. 2 Timothy 2:7. He said here, he tells Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee, there's that word again, what is it? The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Hey, how's Timothy going to get understanding in all things? Paul said, you got to consider what I say. Consider what I say. Go over to Acts chapter 22. Let's go over there. Acts chapter 22. You can leave 2 Timothy now. And go to Acts 22. And notice what happens here. Right after Paul gets saved, look what Ananias tells him. Acts 22 verse 14 is where we're going to go. Look what he says to Paul here. Acts 22:14. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. He's talking to Paul. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know what? Man, I hope you're getting this. God said, I got this mystery that I kept secret. God said in Ephesians 1, he said, now I've made it known. Well, how did he make it known? Paul said, you're going to understand the mystery of Christ when you read what I've written to you. So I hope you're getting this. Look at verse 14 again. That thou shouldest know his will. So Christ is going to make it known to Paul and see that just one. Paul actually would have direct revelation and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So when Paul got saved, right away, Ananias comes and says, hey, God is going to make known his will to you. He said, you're going to actually see and hear Jesus Christ. He's going to instruct you. He's going to teach you. So if I'm going to have the knowledge of his will, I got to grow in wisdom and spiritual understanding. How do I get the wisdom and spiritual understanding? I got to read. I got to learn. And I got to understand what Paul's written about it. in your handout, it says all of God's word is profitable. Now, we know that. I mean, we preach from all the Bible. We preach from Old Testament. We preach all over. But all of God's word is profitable. But Paul's prayer and passion was that believers would understand God's will for this present dispensation that had been revealed through him. I mean, if I want to know about the Old Testament law, who did God reveal that to? Paul wasn't alive in the Old Testament, folks. He made it known to Moses. Right. Now, if I want to know about prophecy, I'm going to go to the prophets. I'm going to go back to Isaiah and Jeremiah. I'm going to go to the prophets if I want to know about prophecy. Right? If I want to know about Christ's earthly ministry, I'm going to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell me all about it. If I want to know about the tribulation and the kingdom, I'm going to go to John and the book of Revelation and what John wrote. But if I want to know what God's doing today, if I want to know His plan and His purpose for the present dispensation, if I want to know how I fit into what God's doing today, then I'm going to go and I'm going to read what Paul said because God made it known to him. Look at Colossians 1 and go down to verse 25. Let's just cross-reference this real quick. Colossians 1:25. Go back to our text, Colossians 1, and look down at verse 25. Paul said, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me," God gave it to Paul, "for you, to fulfill, to complete the word of God." See, God had already made known the law. He'd already made known prophecy. But this whole thing of the mystery in the body of Christ hadn't made it known. But Paul said he made it known to me for you. Look at, and he said that is what completes the word of God. Look at verse 26. "Even the mystery which hath been," what did God say about this present dispensation? It was what? It was hid from ages and from generations. But now, here it is again, is made what? Yeah, he's fully made known. Ephesians 1:9 says his will to his saints. So if you look up here at the screen, I've got a chart that will kind of show you what we're talking about. That, you know, in the Old Testament, the prophetic program of what God's going to do over here, ultimately, on the earth, was made known way back here. It's been known from the beginning. Peter said it's been preached since the world began, the prophetic program. Paul, and so the prophetic program began here and continues along. But here, Paul said there's a mystery. There's something not made known. Now, this has been made known since the world began, the prophetic program. But there's a mystery program, Paul says, that was not made known since the world began. It was hidden. It was kept secret. And in due time, Christ appeared to Paul and gave him direct revelation about this and made it known to Paul. Paul said, now when you read what I wrote, you're going to get some understanding into this parentheses time period that you're living in, where the prophetic program has been what? Interrupted. See? And it's going to pick up again over here when this is over. But if we're going to understand what God's doing in the parentheses, if we're going to understand what God's doing in this mystery He's made known, then we're going to have to go and we're going to have to read Paul and we're going to have to understand what Paul wrote to the church, the body of Christ. Without that understanding, here's the point. Here's where I'm heading with this. Without an understanding of this, then no matter how sincere you are, okay, if you look down at verse 10, notice he says, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." I don't care how sincere you are, you cannot walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing without a grasp and an understanding of this. And that's what he's praying for them. He's praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will. You'll be filled with a grasp and an understanding of what God's doing today. And the only way to get it is through wisdom and spiritual understanding. And Paul said the way to get that understanding, he said, you're going to get that understanding when you read what I've written to you. And you know, if you don't have a grasp of what God's doing, then what you got to do is you got to go to Paul and you got to get it. You got to grab a hold of it. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. When we talk about this thing of Paul's talking about God's overarching purpose, when he talks about God's will, he's talking about what God's doing overall, his plan and purpose for this time period. That doesn't mean God isn't concerned about the details of your life. He most certainly is. And God loves you, and he wants you to talk to him about everything in your life. But here's the point. If a believer is ignorant of God's will, God's purpose, and God's plan, if a believer is ignorant of what God is trying to accomplish today, not the law, not the future kingdom, but if you don't understand what God's trying to accomplish today in the calling out of this thing called the body of Christ and what God's trying to do, if you don't have an overall understanding of that, then really, if you're toiling with, okay, should I go in the ministry or should I stay in business? I want to go to the mission field. Should I go to Brazil or should I go to Mexico? Well, the point is this. If you don't have an intelligent understanding of God's will and God's purpose and God's plan for today, then really that's irrelevant, because no matter where you go, you're going to do more harm than good if you don't have a grasp of what God's doing. And that's what Paul's saying. If you don't have a grasp of what God's up to and what God's doing and what God's trying to accomplish, you're going to end up going out and doing more harm than good. So really, it's irrelevant where you go, you know, because you're just going to do nothing but cause trouble for the cause of Christ if you don't understand these things. It's kind of like the story of the sailor. He's on the ship, and he's trying his best to get this big old case through a hatchway on the ship. Picture this sailor. He's trying to get this big old case through this hatchway. And man, I mean, he's lifting and struggling and pushing. And finally, one of his mates jumps up to his aid. And so together, they're lifting and they're straining and they're pushing and they're pulling again. They're not getting anywhere. They can't get it through the hatchway. Finally, the second man looked at the first man. He said, "You are never going to get this thing in." The first man said, "In, I'm trying to get it out." They're working against each other, aren't they? Well, in the same way, if you don't understand what God's doing, then, you know, whether you go to Mexico, Brazil, no matter, the details, you understand, don't matter if you don't understand the overall plan and purpose of what God's trying to do. How are we going to serve God acceptably if we don't have an intelligent understanding of what he wants done? It's kind of like, you know, football. If you know all the mechanics of how to throw a football and how to get a perfect spiral, but you don't have an overall grasp of what the game is, and if you don't have an overall grasp of the idea is you got 10 other guys with the same color jersey and you're all trying to move that way and get what's called a touchdown, which gets 6 points, and your object is to get more points than the other team. If you don't have that basic grasp and understanding, then no matter how good a spiral you throw, it really doesn't matter, because, you know, you're going to end up throwing it to the other team anyway, you know, and you're not going to be able to accomplish too much. You're just going to do more harm than good. Well, it's the same way, and this is what Paul's praying for these people. I want you to get an overall grasp of his will, what God's doing. He's fully made it known. And so I want you to get a grasp of what his will is, so that then you can go out, in verse 10, that you can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, in your handout, it says, as we read God's word and we understand Paul's mystery, then we begin to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And then we take that knowledge and apply it to the details of our lives with wisdom. So if you want to know God's will in the details of your life, you don't sit around waiting on visions, waiting on voices. You take God's word and you take your grasp and your understanding of what God's doing today and what his purposes are, and then you apply that to the details of your life. Now, look at verse 10. Without a proper knowledge of what God's doing today, there's no way I can be fruitful. There's no way I can have a pleasing life unto the Lord. Verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy. In other words, I got to have verse 9 before I can do verse 10. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So Paul said, I'm praying that you'll be filled, fully furnished with the knowledge of His will, what God's doing today, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul says, but you got to have that ye might. So I got to have what that stuff in verse 9. I got to have that knowledge and that grasp of what God's doing today so that I can then go out, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and be fruitful in every good work. You know, some people think that all that God's concerned about is sincerity, and that if a person is sincere, God is pleased. Is that true or false? That's false. No, God says we worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is concerned with truth, my friend, not just sincerity. And in your handout, it says, without a proper spiritual understanding from God's Word, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. You will end up off course, unfruitful, and counterproductive in God's work. You're going to end up off course, unfruitful, and counterproductive if you don't have that spiritual understanding there in verse number 9. And that's why Paul prayed about it so much when he prayed for believers, that they would come to understand and grasp what Christ had given Paul to give to the church. Oh, how he wanted people to get it. And I know some of you maybe sometimes think, why is Pastor Dan always talking about the mystery? And why is he always talking about the importance that we understand sound doctrine that God gave us through Paul? Why is Pastor Dan talk about that a lot? Because this was Paul's passion. He knew that people were not going to really grow and know God until they had that grasp and that understanding of what God's doing. You're not an Old Testament Jew. You're not a Jew living in the prosperity theology of the kingdom that you hear preached on TV. You're not in the kingdom. You're not there. You're not living during Christ's earthly ministry. You're living in the time of the mystery. And now it's been made known through Paul. And you've got to understand what God's doing today. Because if you don't, guess what? You can't be fruitful. If we're going to have a fruitful church, then we've got to have that grasp of verse 9 of what God's will is and what God's doing today. Does that make sense? Amen, church? Y'all got that? That we've got to get this. This is important stuff we're talking about here. And you know, I got a picture here. Let's go ahead and bring it up. Y'all know what that is? That's a picture of what? Anybody want to take a guess? Jehovah's Witness. Somebody said it. And if you were a little closer, you could see they got their Watchtower magazine in their hand. They got their little briefcase that they take with all their materials in it. You know, whenever someone comes to your door and they have, you know, they have much more than that, if they got to have a briefcase to carry all their stuff, right away, that lets you know there's something wrong. Amen? You know, and they got their briefcase and materials there and got all their literature and Watchtower magazines. Now, those are probably nice folks. Those are probably nice people. You know, I'd probably enjoy having, you know, a cup of coffee with him talking about the best team in football, the Green Bay Packers. I'd probably enjoy that, you know. You know, it's probably nice people, probably sincere people. But let me ask you something. Are they going to be fruitful for God's work? Yes or no? Are they going to be fruitful in the body of Christ? No. No. And it's because, you see, as Jehovah's Witness, they don't have a clue about the mystery that God's revealed through Paul. All they know is Old Testament law and kingdom doctrine. They have no grasp or understanding of what God's doing today. They don't have a clue what God's doing today in the dispensation of grace. Not a clue. So they're going to come bearing God's Old Testament covenant name with Israel, which was Jehovah. That was His Old Testament covenant name with Israel. They're going to come and they're not going to come proclaiming Christ as being all sufficient. They're not going to come and preach His finished work. They don't have a grasp and understanding because the only place they're going to get it is through Paul, and they're not that they're going to. Like Paul said, he said, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. There is a satanic turning away from Paul that we see in the world even to today. Because Paul's where you're going to get the answers for what's going on today and what God wants accomplished today and what God's trying to do today and what God's doctrine is for today. And that satanic turning away from Paul began in his lifetime. and it continues throughout religion today. Woefully ignorant of what God's plan is for today, revealed through Paul. In your handout, it says, as we read and gain understanding into God's plan and purpose for today, revealed through Paul, it serves as a compass that directs us and helps us in our decision-making and prioritizing. Until you gain a basic understanding of God's Word, your walk won't be right. Look at verse number 10. And there's just a few phrases here we'll look at. When I gain that understanding of what God's doing today, and you're doing that, by the way, by coming to the Colossians series, by being faithful each Wednesday night, I believe by the end of this book, you're going to have a very good grasp and understanding of God's plan and purpose and what God's trying to do today. But what happens when I get that? Look at verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. That simply means to walk in an appropriate, in a godly manner. Okay? Unto all pleasing. Let me give you a statement in your handout. It is by Christ's revelations through Paul that we learn how to walk and to please God. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:1 in your handout. Paul said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, Paul and his co-laborers that started that church, as you have received of us, how you ought to, number one, walk, and number two, what? Please God, so you would abound more and more. That's how I learn what's pleasing to God for this time period. Now, if I want to know how to please God as an Old Testament Jew, I'm going to go to Moses. See? But if I want to know how to please God as a Gentile in the body of Christ, then I'm going to go to the apostle of the Gentiles. I'm going to go to Paul. And then he says in verse 10, being fruitful in every good work. So look up here. Sound doctrine and spiritual understanding internally in my heart and mind lays the foundation for spiritual fruitfulness. It is impossible to be fruitful in every good work if I don't have an intelligent understanding of what God's doing, back in verse 9. Knowledge, but here's the point that Paul's making in verse 10. My knowledge and my understanding should bring obedience in my life. My knowledge of what God's doing today, it should affect my daily life to where I become fruitful. And then he says at the end of verse 10, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now right away you may think, well, that sounded like verse number 9. No, no, no. They're different. Look at verse 9. He prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge of what? His will. But what's he praying for in verse 10? That in turn, once they understood God's overall purpose and plan for today, now they have a basis to increase in the knowledge of what? Of God Himself. They can actually grow in their personal relationship with God. They can know God in a deeper, more meaningful way. Denise and I began to get to know each other back in college. And we met. I was 18 and she was 19, 20. And we telling our ages, ain't ya, baby? Married an older woman. Amen. Mature, godly. Anyway, once Denise and I began to talk, she began to understand, and I began to understand her overall purpose and plan for our life. And we began to realize that our purpose and our overarching plan and purpose for our lives were the same. And that is, we both wanted to serve God in full-time ministry. We were dedicated to that. Well, once we understood the overall purpose of each other's lives, then that provided a foundation where we could begin to know each other in a deeper and more personal way, which ultimately led to our marriage at 910 Bevel Road. That's where the church used to be located. That's where we got married. But we first had to understand each other's overall purpose and plan for our lives. And that's what Paul's saying here. Once you get a knowledge of His will, you understand what God's doing today. Now you have a basis to be fruitful, to be productive in God's service. You have a basis with which to really know God in a deeper way. And I want you to notice, real quickly, in conclusion, there are three key words there that all start with W. That I think the order of them are very important. And I think it's that way in your Bible on purpose. There are three key words that start with W. The first one's in verse 9 at the very end. He talks about wisdom. And then verse 10, that ye might walk. That's the second word, is talks about our walk with God. And then the third key word that starts with W is being fruitful in every good what? Work. Now, did you notice the order? Let's say the order. What was the first one? Wisdom. Then number two was walk. And number three was work. Now follow this. Follow this. That's important, the way Paul did that. It's on purpose. I'm going to work backwards. Okay, the last one was work. I can't be a productive worker for God if I'm not walking with God, which was the second one. And I can't walk with God if I'm ignorant of God's, of the wisdom that He gives and of the will of what He's doing. So, in your handout it says, I am filled with God's wisdom. See? I can now walk with God. And in turn, I can effectively what? Work for God, bearing spiritual fruit. But it all starts with verse 9, being filled with the knowledge of His will, growing in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understanding what God's doing today. And this was the focus of Paul's prayer as he prayed for these people. And this is how we need to pray for each other. Okay? So next week we'll continue. We're going to see some wonderful things as Paul continues in verse 11 to share with us how he prayed. If you're reading this week, I want you to really focus on verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. I want you to read those several times this week, so that you come in prepared next week as we study these verses, okay? Let's go to God in prayer right now.